that was Diamonds by Frankie and the Witch Fingers. We've had a lot of their albums in station. I don't think this one is in our library. It's probably, I think it's their oldest album, and my second favorite, actually. My favorite of theirs is this, their 2017 Sidewalk album, which highly recommend. It's just a like super grimy garage rock record. But anyways, up next is The Other Song by Spirit.
I was sneaking down, sneaking down, sneaking down a long, lonesome road. I was sneaking down, sneaking down, sneaking down a long, lonesome road. But you were sleeping in the same precious light. You were sleeping in the same precious light. Sneaking down, sneaking down, sneaking down long, lonesome road. Yeah. Oh, sneaking down, sneaking down, sneaking down long, lonesome road. But you were sleeping in your sad, precious smile.
Smile, you smile, you smile. your eyes were open, but you were sleeping. Sleeping in your sad, precious smile.
But I sure can tell your porky soul is gonna fry in hell, and the grease will spit and the fat will roll like a hamburger that's
All your soul is worth processed beef clippings. Tear the skin light off of me, you're not hanging out now.
Row House Cinema joins you in supporting WRCT. Row House Cinema is a single-screen theater in the historic Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. Each week, they choose a new movie theme, showing classic, cult, foreign, animation, fun, and fascinating films in a magical setting. Their concession stand features natural popcorn with real butter, craft beer, and vegan options. Row House Cinema is located at 4115 Butler Street in Lawrenceville. For more information, visit their website at www.rowhousecinema.com or call 412-904-3225. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities.
Tell me why can't you ever be more? Cry.
Tune in to It's Gospel Time for Gospel R&B, Gospel Hip Hop, and Gospel Jazz with DJ Time, Mondays 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on WRCT Pittsburgh. You just listened to Hydraulics 37B2 by Dave the Drummer and The Anxious. And before that was Politicians in My Eyes by Death, which is a East Detroit-based proto-punk outfit. I think they were popular around like the 1970s. And they're made up of three brothers, I think. But yeah, they're really great. Highly recommend checking them out if you haven't heard of them before. Thanks so much for listening again to The Gray Area in WRCT Pittsburgh. Up next, you are going to hear Your Mind Belongs to the State by Meat Beat Manifesto. Love this album.
I think that there's probably a revelatory experience awaiting everyone that has to do with finding out who and what you really are. I think when that occurs, if it occurs, Nirvana dash heaven, and the degree to which you don't reach that place of realization, you're in eternal hell.
Is this the person speaking who's abandoned his origins? What do you want for the rest of your life?
Are you afraid of death? I have seen people killed, and I've seen them killed in the act of self-defense, not by me, but by somebody else. It was justified. You know what? That's showbiz.
Well, the first thing I like to do is fuck, not make love.
I feel good making love to men, not screwing men.
At the end, there will be nothing. There will be no atoms, no molecules, no subatomic particles, no thing at all, nothing at the end. Do you live on in some way after death?
Well, I'd like to think so.
Once you die, everything then just goes kaflooey. You know, I think that there is some order to consciousness.
What do you want from the rest of your life?
The following is a message for those fortunate enough to care for the person who has always been their hero. Growing up, your hero was always there. They repaired your first broken heart, they took care of you when you got sick, and they sent you into each chapter of your life with advice and lessons that left you feeling ready to conquer the world. But with the passing of time, the tables have turned, and your hero needs you more now than ever. AARP is here to help you care for your hero. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council. Tune into Cold Cuts Monday at 4 p.m. only on WRCT Pittsburgh. Don't worry about what's in it. You know you'll like it. That was Swan Lake by Public Image Limited. And up next is Attack Ships on Fire by... Actually, I can't say their whole name because it would be violating FCC rules, but the, let's just say, Revolting Roosters. We'll be right back. Thank you so much for listening to The Gray Area on WRCT Pittsburgh. Again, my name is Leia Minsky, aka DJ Sock Goblin. I hope you enjoy today's show, and I will catch you next week. Have a great Friday.
Unused prescription opioid pain medicines can spell trouble. They can spell risk if taken by someone they weren't prescribed for. Harm if accidentally taken by a child or pet. Or overdose if they're not used as directed. Safely dispose of opioids before they can hurt your family. Find a drug take-back option such as medicine drop boxes. You may find these in your community, at local pharmacies or police stations. Visit www.fda.gov/drugdisposal.
Think about your mother, your sister, your girlfriend. One in six women is a victim of sexual assault. Now think about your father, your brother, your best friend. Men are victims too. Rape can happen to anyone. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, encouraging you to call the National Sexual Assault Hotline to learn how to support someone you love. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this state.
Hey everyone, welcome to
Good Times, Bad Decisions
on WRCT 88.3 with Amanda, Blair, Leo, and Shri.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh or its members.
Today we're going to be discussing some of our favorite books and TV shows, kind of throwing some recommendations out there, giving you an idea of what we've been into lately and what we're enjoying. But kind of before we hop into that, let's revisit something from last week. We talked about things we were looking forward to this week, and a lot of these things have happened. So, I know, Leo, you were looking forward to getting out of quarantine, and you are now out of quarantine. Tell us about it. What are your thoughts? What's running through your mind? How is society?
Long story short, I love quarantine. I don't have to go anywhere, save me a lot of time. Yeah. Right now, I'm, like, very behind.
Wait, I thought you caught up on things during quarantine.
Yes.
But you're still behind.
Well, it's a very fast pace. I could not keep up with it once I'm out of quarantine.
You've been out of quarantine for a whole 7 hours.
Exactly. That's how fast paced. Anyway. That's me. Awesome. How's the trip?
Oh my god, the trip? It was a fever dream. It felt like a fever dream to me. But Amanda can talk more about it.
Yeah, so Shri and I had two very different experiences, I think. I mean, we did have to wake up very early. Just as a reminder, Shri and I went to a water treatment facility up north in Pittsburgh, about 15 minutes north of CMU.
Aspinwall, if you know where that is, kind of over the river near Millville.
Over the river and through the trail over to the water treatment plant. But yes, so we had to wake up pretty early on Friday to get there. And Sheree was like, yeah, half asleep. But I was just anxious about waking up, so I was like very much awake. But yeah.
Why were you anxious about waking up?
My middle name is Anxiety.
So. Oh. I felt that in my soul.
I felt that. So, yeah. Very, anyway. yeah, so we went there. I think a lot of the other students on the field trip with us were also kind of upset that they were woken up early on a Friday.
Naturally.
That was my major qualm with it, but anyway.
But we got there. Our professor actually got there, like, late.
Yeah, our professor was like, be there at 8:30, okay? Homie rolls up at, what, like, 8:40?
Yeah.
Homie just casually walks in at 8:40. Like, not in a rush, just casual stroll. Like, yeah. Well, we planned an extra 15 minutes to be like, we don't want to be late. Like, he's going to be mad at us if we're late. No, he strolls in. Like, a nice little walk in the morning.
Yeah.
That's okay. I think I got up at 6:30 to get to... We all carpooled, so I got up at 6:30, walked to one of my classmates' places, and we all drove together. The content of the tour was cool, I thought. I think it's just the fact that my brain wasn't functioning until we had, like, left the plant, because that's when my brain starts normally functioning at, like, 11 a.m., 11:30-ish. I think that was a thing for me, but wow.
Yeah, so we gained very meaningful insights about how the drinking water is produced here in Pittsburgh. And we won't go into, like, the boring stuff, because that's just, like, nerdy, you know.
But I will
coagulation, I will say, flocculation, and all that stuff.
I will say, Pittsburgh's water comes from the Allegheny River, in case you were not aware. Some of us in this room had other preconceived notions about where the water comes from. At Amanda. Amanda's like, Susquehanna River.
Be quiet, please.
No, it's okay. I have to expose you. You already talked about how sleepy I was, so it's only fair that I expose you.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was that.
Not good with names of rivers, all right? There's a lot of rivers in my life, okay?
That's fair. Jersey girl.
And there are three rivers in Pittsburgh, right?
Uh-huh. Yes. Don't ask me to name them.
Ohio, Monongahela, and Allegheny, right?
Yeah.
I think so. But wow. The amount of water that goes through this plant per, like,
70 million
is
gallons a day.
Right.
And the capacity is, like, 100 million gallons a day?
Maybe even more. One of their motors could pump 117, right?
Yeah, well, that's the motor capacity. Yeah. Like, I think the disinfection is the rate-limiting step. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Oh, rate-limiting steps.
Anyway, enough about water, even though it's very important. What were you up to, Blair?
I don't remember what I was looking for.
I think you said most about going...
No. Your thesis.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yes.
That was not mentioned on
the literature review. Yes. I, like, finish it and, like, just put it behind me. Like, I don't even remember. But, yeah, I finished it. I have, like, 114 citations and 20-something pages. But that's just the literature review, like, the introduction. I haven't even made the figures yet, but it's a big step for me.
Yeah, no, yeah. I love that.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Very good.
Cute.
Yeah, we finished recording audition videos for my dance team, so that's done. That was a major step, thank you. I would just like to say that I am one of the primary male dancers on the team. I have to dance as a male this semester, because we don't really have that many biological males that can dance for audition tapes, so there you go. All 5'3" of me is dancing as a male. It's kind of funny, because I look so tiny compared to the other people. It's like, heh, whoops. Anyway, books and TV shows. Okay.
All right. Nice segue. Woo. Books and TV.
Sometimes you gotta go from point A to point B directly. Like, there's no roundabout way. We just kind of were on one island and we just jumped. We took one gigantic step and went to the other island. We didn't swim. We just jumped. Teleported. That's the word. I'm not a big TV show person, so I can't really offer many recommendations on that end. Unless you want anime recommendations, I can give you those. But I can't give you, like, TV shows, unfortunately.
I think that works. Anime.
Yeah, for sure. I want to talk about books, though. I like books. But if anyone wants to start with TV, go for it.
Okay. Leo, you seem to be excited about yours.
Okay. Hear me out. So, it's a very futuristic show. It's called The Peripheral. It's also a book.
Okay.
I think it's the same director who directed Westworld. It's kind of like it's a little, like, I wouldn't say, like, similar, but, like, a little bit, like, similar concepts. But, like, anyway, right? Like, this whole thing is just, like, basically, this girl, the main character, gets to travel to the future and then learn about her future and trying to save the world. But by doing so, you're creating a new future or new universe.
Like butterfly effect?
Not like, I don't know. It's just like, basically, it's, you know how like, basically like in the, you're not supposed to, like, everything should go as planned in a normal linear timeline. But if you change something because of you know the future, then that means you're on this trajectory on the new line.
Mm.
It's kind of like Loki.
And so if you go to the future and then come back to the past and change the future, how did you go to the future in the first place to learn what you did about the future in order to change the future?
Right.
So it's like a paradox.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another great question that, like, prompted, like, this, like, watching this show. It was like, what if we're, like, just living in a simulation?
Well, that's like the Matrix.
This whole life is just a simulation. Like, you know how, like, if we're, like, we're able to build simulations in the future, like, we are on our path to build, like, these kind of, like, simulation, right? Like, why can't, technically, right? Like, what if it's, like, very, very advanced, and then we create this, like, so immersive, like, kind of like a futuristic simulation that when we're in it, we don't know if we're just a simulation. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, let's say maybe when you die, then you start to, like, you're like the player who are done with the game, and
it's
then
like
you're,
a video game.
Yeah.
Ready Player One, SAO. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love SAO. Sorry, anyway.
I liked it until the end.
Okay, I haven't watched the more recent seasons. I've watched, like, the first, yeah, very okay. first one, very which first I liked. One, yeah. Sorry. Anyway. SAO, Sword Art Online, it's an anime.
I mean, two thoughts. One is the one that you're saying, which is, like, if this life is a simulation and after this life ends, we just, like, get out and go into the quote-unquote real world. But the other thing is, what if we are the simulation? Like, there's nothing else for us except for the simulation?
Like, we're the NPCs?
Like, we're data in someone else's computer, basically.
Uh-oh.
And, like, in that case, I wouldn't really mind because even though I'm a simulation, everything I've ever touched or seen or know has also been a simulation. So, like, it's fine.
It's still, like, I guess one universe you can say, for example. Like, there's no discontinuity of being in a simulation and then having consciousness outside of that.
Yeah.
Once you exit it.
Yeah. So, like, were we taken from the quote-unquote real world and put into the simulation, or have we always been, like,
so
born into
nothing,
the simulation?
Yeah, there's just not. Then who created a simulation? That's the thing.
Aliens? Really smart, real human? Real, real human?
Yeah, not me. I'm not that smart. Let's see. The most recent TV show I've watched, I think Leo actually made me watch, is Arcane, the League of Legends one.
Mm.
We binge-watched it. I would say we binge-watched it. We watched it at a very fast pace. I thought it was really good. As someone who doesn't really play League of Legends all that much, I could still understand what was happening in the show, and it was still very emotionally moving. The animation was also quite good, and soundtrack as well. So I have very minimal complaints. I don't have any complaints, really, about the show, except that it was too short and I want more. It was not. Was it nominated for an award? I feel like I remember that happening, or maybe I'm fabricating that and it's all hallucination. like our same impression.
It probably did. I mean, like, you can't argue against, like, that, like, what was it, 94% Rotten Tomato, and, like, it's been, like, still, like, 9.1, or, like, 9 IMDb score or something. It was, like, very, very high, and, like, like, I think when it first came out, the a month and a half, it's, like, surpassing the viewership over, like, Stranger Things and stuff like that.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how crazy it was.
That's a feat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a feat.
It was really good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I feel like with, like, the large base of, like, fan base for League of Legends, like, if it's bad, like, this, like, people are gonna, like, just trash talking it so much. So they have to. They kind of have to make it good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It also gives them a starting point for viewership where it's like, oh, if I play League of Legends, I would be interested in the show because it's tangential to something that I'm familiar with and I enjoy. So it gives them a starting point, and then, I don't know, maybe that's also a factor of how widely it spread and how quickly it spread. I don't know. Other TV shows. I really enjoyed Sherlock, but that was, like, years ago. It's not that recent.
Oh, Sherlock. Yeah. Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh Benedict my gosh.
He did a really good job in that role. Why are you laughing?
Not the fangirl.
Oh, my gosh. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, I love him so much. I really do.
I can believe that. You know, yeah. I think it's coming through.
Yeah, no, he's just great. Sherlock is great.
Do you like his role as Doctor Strange?
He's more. I have mixed feelings, and most of them are positive.
Okay,
that's good. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, this isn't the time to get into it, but I have mixed feelings about the Marvel Universe. Most of them are positive. Okay. Some of them are not.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
But
We'll get back on to the Sherlock.
Yes, Sherlock.
Sherlock. I loved it. I practically pulled an all-nighter to watch it. There's a common trend here. When I get invested into a TV show, it gets done from start to finish as soon as possible. No interruptions. I can't watch, like, I could never do the whole waiting for an episode to come out once a week thing. Because I'll forget about the show.
Mm.
Or the suspense. I can't do it. I can't.
Yeah. So did you, like, finish, like, all the seasons of Sherlock at once? Okay,
yeah, I basically took a day to watch it, and it was done. Oh, and that was that.
Yeah, so, because I remember I was waiting for, like, a new season to come up, and that took, like, 2 years or something. It's
Yeah. Like, I could never wait
that
long.
So sad they canceled season 5, right?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah.
So sad. The fourth season kind of came out of nowhere, and I was a little, like, we're introducing a bunch of characters and plot lines that kind of
were incongruous with the characters already established.
Yeah, it just kind of felt like there was a lot more potential to continue fleshing out those characters in future seasons. And if there were future seasons, I could see that being more cohesive as a show. But the fact that it just pivoted in the fourth season a lot, it was like, oh, is there more? There seems like there's a lot more you could say. Or maybe you should have said more about these people earlier so we could get a better transition overall between seasons. I don't know. Just a thought.
Oh, speaking of Charlotte, Sherlock, I was looking, just, like, browsing, like, the latest TV shows, and I think there's, like, a Miss Sherlock that's...
Oh, Enola. Yeah. Enola Holmes. Yeah. Sherlock's younger sister.
Yeah. That's the one. I haven't watched it, but I heard it's pretty interesting.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
I know a couple years ago, when I was in my Sherlock phase, they were also making a Sherlock anime. I don't know what the status is on that one.
Whoa!
But they were making one. There were, like, character designs that were out and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah! No, I'm not kidding!
I'm just imagining, I don't know if anyone has seen Black Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm imagining, like, Black Butler, but, like, more, could it be more British? More British.
Oh, gosh, Black Butler was so British. Oh, I watched that years ago.
Oh, it was so good.
It was.
It deviated from the manga, like, in the second episode or something, but...
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the manga.
But the,
Watched manga, read the manga. I watched the show.
The show was so good. but I think the manga was better.
I mean, and as with most things, the written literature is often better than the TV shows.
Yeah.
Though that's my opinion. But that's just, like, a me thing. My I guess recent reads have not been fiction books. I've been reading a lot more poetry lately. I'm taking a poetry workshop right now, so it's kind of been one way to get myself inspired and also continue to explore what kind of styles work best with how I write and just get inspiration. So I've been reading a few of those. I did start a book in August. It's called The Namesake by Jhumpa Lahiri. And it's like the third time I've started it. It's not a bad book. It is such a good book. It's not a very plot-heavy and, like, action-packed book, which is why I take it at a slower pace. And for me, it's something that hits closer to home because it is about, like, an immigrant family that comes to the United States and, like, raising a child and how that child straddles, like, the values between, like, an Indian society for me and, like, the American society, right? And so, like, there's a lot of depth of concepts to think about, too. So I like taking my time to read and just thinking about, you know, what's happening to the character and how that's going to inform, like, how they grow and mature, right? And so it just takes me longer to get through a book like that, just because there's a lot more I want to think about there. It's not a back book by any means. It's just by the time I remember to pick it up again, and by the time I have enough brain cells and time to dedicate to really sitting down and, like, sitting with the content, it's just been too long since I've read it, and I want to, like, refresh myself. But it's a really good book. I recommend anything by Jhumpa Lahiri. I love her style. It's very, feels very authentic and, like, homey, like, very homely, I guess. Not, like, homey, like a buddy, but, like, very, like, comfortable and casual. Anyway, I can keep going about books, but I feel like if anyone else has any other good books that you've been maybe reading or have read, would love to hear about them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm currently reading Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman, which this is one of the cases where I actually watched the TV series Good Omens before I read the book. But, of course, like, the story is the same, you know, the characters are similar, but it's obvious how the director, and forgive me, I don't actually know who directed the TV show, definitely highlighted certain aspects of the story and the characters, whereas the book takes a lot more of, like, a wide perspective, flat view of everything. And that's not to say that there's not, like, emotion or depth in the characters in the book. It's just that there's so many different situations going on in the book, and the book treats them all with equal importance, whereas with the TV show, it was very obvious and doubled down who the main characters were. So that was a little bit different between the book and the movie, but yeah, it's a good book. Good Omens.
Noted.
Yeah, I guess for me, my recent reads are all, like, non-fictions. So currently I'm reading this book called Moonshot, and it's written by the CEO of Pfizer, and just on how the development of the COVID vaccine happened. Like, this is kind of, like, my own thing, because I'm, like, more like a biochemist, and I kind of like to read, like, those, like, nonfiction that's related to science. But yeah, it's really interesting, like, because, so the CEO, I can't remember his name, I'm terrible at remembering the name, basically he took the name Moonshot because that was from President Kennedy's speech of going to the moon, and they developed the vaccine within 8 months, as opposed to usually 8 years at least. And so it's a bit about, like, how, so he also, like, just became the CEO of Pfizer at, like, the start, like, at around the start of 2020. And then, you know, it was a really, so he was, like, quickly had to adapt to this, like, new mode of company operation, and also, like, you know, this huge project, not knowing what it might result in. But yeah, it's really interesting to look at it. And if you're interested in, like, the more, like, science and, like, pharmaceutical kind of books, I also really like the book HER2, which talked about the make of a breast cancer drug, Herceptin. And another book is called Gene Tech, and it's basically the founding of a really, it's almost like the first, like, big biotechnology company, just Genentech. And yeah, it's just like kind of brings science more into life to me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The books that I really enjoy in science are the ones that can like find a story or narrative but still give you enough scientific content. Because mm-hmm. I feel like for us, we're very biased towards having solid science to rely on, right? Yeah. So those kind of books are really good. I read two in high school, and the names of them are escaping me now. But one of them was an evolution book, and it tracked this fossil hunter as he was collecting different fossils and simultaneously talked about the evolution of species. So I thought it was a very interesting blend of things. And the second one was about the surgeon. Surgeon's first name was John. I don't remember his last name. But he was a surgeon way back as surgery was becoming a new thing. And he applied a very scientific approach to it and basically mapped out, like, where all a lot of, like, blood vessels and veins are by, like, injecting them with wax and whatnot. And so it was talking about, like, the experimental process of defining anatomy while also being a surgeon and, like, dealing with patients and his history and all that. I don't remember what the title of it is, which is so sad. It has a black cover. But I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember what the actual title is.
Very important question with that. Is this before or after they figured out that they needed to wash their hands in between patients?
This was, like, before that.
Nice.
Yeah.
We love that.
This was before. He basically, I guess more context to this guy. He was the one that came up with the surgical procedure for, like, aneurysms and was able to figure out why an aneurysm will impact your heart and how to, like, fix that. But if that helps you place who the guy is, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. This was three or four years ago for me now, so it was a while ago. They're still on my bookshelf, though. The other one had a white cover with, like, a green little lizard on the front.
Yeah, I read a bunch of scientific books for my environmental classes, stuff about pollution and the different industries that contributed to different pollutants, specifically in America, but also worldwide. I mean, that's all, like, sad stuff. Like, yeah, like, there are three, boy. Like, really, really great books. Our Stolen Future is one of them, about the chemical industry and pollution and health effects and environmental impacts. But one of the more positive books I read, I still don't remember the name of it, but it kind of was a biography, but instead of being a biography of a person, it was the biography of this research project. So if you've ever seen, like, a scientific journal paper, you know that it's very dense, you know that it's very dry. You know, you do have to have some sort of a story to convey why this research is important, but you don't really have a story of how you went to the lab every day to do the synthesis, or you went out into the community and you took this poll. You know, that sort of information isn't in the journal paper that you submit for peer review. But this book that I read was basically about this young woman scientist who did a survey in Alaska about people and how the people there, the natives and the people who live there in this remote place in Alaska, how they thought about themselves and nature. And how they thought about the current, like, land management there for their natural spaces. So it just provided a lot more depth and a lot more meaning to the paper, because just from reading the paper, you don't realize, like, all the stories that she heard and all of the risky plane rides and boat rides that she took to Alaska in the middle of winter and everything that she went through. So it just kind of shows the more human side to science, and it's something that I think us scientists are trained to sort of push to the side and just write the paper, but our personal accounts of the research is also important to inform and inspire other budding scientists. So
yeah, I really like the idea. Yeah.